especially right now, because we are joined by an author, a three-time Super Bowl winner, co-host of the GM Shuffle podcast, co-creator of The Daily Coach. He appears today courtesy of VSiN and VSiN.com. I'm speaking of Michael Lombardi. Michael, it's always good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Always good to have you, Michael. Thanks so much. Let me start with Deshaun Watson. Michael, what was your reaction to the news that he's going to be suspended for 11 games, and there's going to be a $5 million fine on top of that, that agreement between the league and the NFLPA? What's your reaction?
You know, obviously the league office felt the 6 games wasn't enough, the money wasn't enough, and, you know, I don't know what Judge Harvey would have said had he ruled, but obviously they wanted a year. They settled on 11. I don't know if there's a right number. I really don't. I mean, you know, listening to the evidence, it doesn't appear to have a right number. But it, to me, from a football standpoint, removing the Deshaun Watson equation is 11 games puts it right in the most difficult spot for the Browns to maneuver during the season because, you know, Deshaun Watson hasn't played football in a year and a half. And when he comes back in November, he's no means going to be the Deshaun Watson that was a good player. He's going to be trying to get his game back. So what do the Browns do? Do they stick with Jacoby Brissett and think he can get them through 11 games and be in good shape? Or do they go trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? My sense of it is to trade for Jimmy, because even when Deshaun comes back, I don't think you're going to get the same player until next year.
You know, you beat me to it. I was going to say that exact thing to you. What do you do if you know it's not six, but it's 11 games with Jacoby Brissett? Mike, when you answer that, let me ask you this. At the same time, if you're Garoppolo, would you want to go to Cleveland, or does he just not have any other options?
Well, he clearly doesn't have any options because he's been on the trade market since February, right? He's been out there available. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's been wondering why teams won't trade for him. I mean, the only vacancy that we can really see in the league right now is Seattle. After last night, Seattle has to have a dose of reality. You know, I mean, fear does the work of reason. And if you're not fearful that your quarterback position isn't really covered in Seattle, then I'm not sure what's going to happen. So, you know, to me, Cleveland could buy this player, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to redo his contract. You know the 49ers are going to cut him the day before the Saturday before the season starts because it's not going to guarantee the money. And then you get a year of him. If you trade for him and he becomes a free agent, and say he comes into Cleveland and their running game's good, they run the same offense that San Francisco runs, it'll be easy to learn. And he comes in, he learns the offense, he plays, and he plays well. He's won 33 games in his career. He takes over, and all of a sudden, you know, he leads him to the playoffs, and you know next year he's gone, so you get a compensatory pick. I don't see a downside to it.
No, I see exactly what you're saying. I agree with you. Michael Lombardi joining us. Michael, one more thought about the Browns. Like, you know how scouting goes. As you said, the rule is you need to know your player better before you draft him than you do after you draft him. Let me ask you this. If you're the Browns and you know why Deshaun Watson is available for trade, is there any way they didn't know what the New York Times eventually discovered, or did they just not want to know?
I think, you know, what Haslam said yesterday, that he's willing to give a second chance and that you give a great quarterback a second chance, they had to know. They just ignored it. I mean, remember, Jim, let's go back. They were out of it. They were completely out of it. Watson was going through and he said, I don't want to go to Cleveland. And then when Cleveland decided to historically change the contractual structure of the NFL by guaranteeing the whole thing, they got back in it. So they had to know. They had to know. They had to know exactly what was in the New York. If they didn't know what was in the New York Times reports, then they're not a billion-dollar franchise. They're really negligent. And I think they did. I think they chose to ignore it.
Michael Lombardi joining us. Michael, what about the Dolphins? They lose a first-round pick. Stephen Ross gets fined $1.5 million as part of the punishment for their role in tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. In your mind, does that punishment fit that crime there?
Well, I think, you know, also part of that punishment was the integrity of the game. You know, him walking around the building talking about losing, too. If you read it, I mean, I know they couldn't prove that he was trying to, but if you read the ruling, they clearly say the integrity of the game and his inference in pushing people to try to lose games, which I think is kind of interesting, especially at the end of the year when some teams try to lose to get a better draft pick. I think that should play into the future. But look, I mean, the hard part of this whole thing is Tom Brady and Bruce Beal are best friends. And so what's the line between tampering and not tampering when you're talking to your friend? And clearly, they wanted to do this. Now, what's interesting is the fact that they've always wanted a tank for Tua. That's been the mantra since he got there. I think he was highly involved in the selection of Tua, Stephen Ross. So this is kind of what he's wanted. It's his team. Now he moves forward.
Michael Lombardi joining us. Michael, what about Philadelphia? I'm just jumping around, but Philadelphia is getting some nice buzz coming into this season. How do they look to you as a team? What's their upside?
Well, look, I mean, people have amnesia. They forgot that they were behind 33-0 to the Bucks in a playoff game last year. Now, I think they've done a great job this offseason. I think they've done exactly what Arizona didn't do, which is strengthen the position around the quarterback while the quarterback's on a rookie contract. And I think Philly's really much better. But let's put this in perspective. Last year, they played six really good quarterbacks. They played Tom Brady twice. They played Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, and Derek Carr. In those six games, the ball only touched the ground 36 times. So their defense couldn't make a play. Now, they've improved. There's no doubt they've improved. And I think they're going to be a better defense. They've improved at linebacker tremendously. And their front's going to still be good. I like them. I just don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, and I don't think the Eagles know either. Other than Eagle fans, they think they know. But they don't know whether Jalen Hurts is going to be a legitimate drop-back passer. When the game becomes all pass, when the defense knows you have to pass, can you pass? In the game against Tampa, when Todd Bowles knew he was going to stop his play-action passes, there was no answer. And you've seen that periodically through his career. We'll see this year if that manifests itself.
Michael Lombardi joining us. Speaking of quarterbacks, Michael, Zach Wilson dealing with that knee injury suffered earlier in the preseason. What is your sense as to the severity of that injury? And then what does that mean for him and the Jets this season?
Well, everything about a quarterback is his lower body, being able to step and drive the ball, using your legs to throw. I mean, it's why pitchers run in baseball in the outfield in spring training, because you've got to strengthen your lower body. If you're a little wobbly with your meniscus or your knee, you know, there's no sense in risking it. Plus, he needs to move. I mean, let's face it, the Jets' offensive line isn't exactly, you know, the 64 Packers here. I mean, if you go through the stats, Jim, the Jets were bad in every category, offense and defense. They were 32nd on offense. They were 32nd on defense with a defensive head coach. I mean, this notion that the Jets are just going to jump everybody, no one's looked at how bad they were last year. Now, I'm granted they're going to improve. Their defensive line will be better. But I think Wilson still makes a lot of mistakes. I think he's a growing player. I think it's going to be challenging for him to come in there and play, especially if he's a little bit hurt. That's why they have Flacco. I would suspect Flacco plays the first two games in spite of what Salai says.
You know what is great, Michael? I hate to date you and I both, but I love that reference you just made that these guys aren't exactly the 64 Packers offensive line. How great was that, man? When you think back, the power sweep, Jim Taylor, my guy Jerry Kramer, that's such good times. Like, when you think about football back then played that way, what comes to mind?
You know, I think of Lombardi going for it with 13 seconds left to go, the quarterback sneak call in Lambeau Field in the Ice Bowl. What makes that call so fascinating is if he would have done that today with Twitter, with Instagram, he ran that play on third down. He ran that play on third down. Had he done that and not scored, the greatest coach of all time perhaps would have been ripped on every talk radio station and all the analytical people would have come from the hills to get him. It would have been hilarious, but it was successful, and nobody seems to remember that it was third down.
Not only that, but was that not one of the greatest blocks ever? And again, I'm a big Jerry Kramer guy. He's one of my favorite guys ever. But big Jethro Pugh could not get to the quarterback. I mean, it was such an amazing block in that moment, right?
No doubt. And look, it was a great game. And, you know, that team was able to execute. Chuck Mersin running the draw in there. And the fact that Starr was sacked 9 times during the game and still was able to make plays. And it's a testament to the toughness of the team because there was no dry fit clothing. There was no warm clothing. Those people were wearing. I mean, Gil Brandt literally paid $20 to the bus driver on the bus driver who drove him to the game to buy his shoes because he didn't have shoes to keep his feet warm.
I'll never forget, Michael, it was 1996. I'd never been to Lambeau before, and I was there for the NFC title game. I had never been so cold. Now, of course, I'm soft. I'm a California native, but I had never, ever felt cold weather like that. It was just so heavy and so cold. Michael Lombardi, my guest. Michael, before you go, what about, I want to ask you what a reasonable expectation would be, Michael, for Mac Jones this year, especially with the departure of Josh McDaniels. What do you expect from him?
You know, we cover a lot of this on VSiN and on our betting guide. I think if you go to VSiN.com and look at our betting guide, we'll have all this information, the over, the unders for teams. But Mac Jones, to me, you know, he got his body changed, which I think he had to do, Jim. He really had to do that badly. And I think that'll help them. And I think he's going to miss Josh. Look, Josh is one of the premier offensive coaches in all of football. There's no denying that. He attacks the adjustments in the defense. There'll be a transitionary period, but I think it's something Coach Belichick wanted to do. I think he wanted to tailor down the offense, because when you have Tom Brady for 20 years, your offense becomes voluminous. You just stack and stack and stack. It's what happened with Marino in Miami. And so it became harder for younger players to learn because there's so much offense. I think they're going to scale it back. I would suspect he plays well. Look, this Parker kid from Miami has always caused New England trouble whenever they played against him. He's having a very good camp. He's going to be a sleeper in fantasy drafts. I really believe that, because he's going to make a lot of plays. He's catching a ton of jump balls, and they're going to throw the ball down the field more.
I want to ask you about VSiN in a minute. I talked to Brent Musburger, Michael, on my podcast not long ago, and I want to ask you about VSiN before you go. One thought about Mac that you just mentioned. You said it was really important that he changed his body. Seems pretty self-evident why you might want to do that, and he looks amazing. Why was it so important for him to make those changes physically?
You know, it's funny. You know, he goes to Alabama, and you think their strength program should be the elite. But, you know, some guys don't understand how important health, nutrition, and all those things are, especially when you enter the NFL and the marathon. The 17 games, training camp starting, the OTAs, what a gruel it is on your body. And what we tend to lose understanding of, especially a quarterback, is you generate your power in your arm from your lower body. And if you don't have enough juice in your lower body, your arm becomes wobbly. And I think it was really important for Mac to strengthen his lower body.
All right, so you are working with VSiN. Break this down for me. What's it all about? Are you doing what you do? Are you talking gambling? Is it a hybrid? How are you approaching this opportunity?
You know, it's been the greatest reward for me. I've been with VSiN now for 4 years with Brent and the Musburger family, and as of now we were part of DraftKings. But for me, Jim, it's been the same job I've always had my whole life. I break down teams. You know, I never bet. I don't bet. But I can tell you the matchup between Atlanta and Chicago, and I can break that down because that's what I've done my whole life. You know, that's what I had to do. I had to say, okay, the strength of Atlanta is this, the weakness of Chicago is that. Here's how I think the game's going to go. When you're trained by the Belichickian system, it's always about how is the game going to be played and what do you need to do to win. And so I try to take that, what I've learned from the great coaches that I've been around in the league, and try to apply it to when I'm on the air with the Lombardi line and explain to the bettors whatever they want to do. Look, every bettor knows what they want to do. I'm not going to convince anybody what to bet, but I'm trying to give them information to help them nudge them one way or the other.
Listen, if anybody could bet, Michael, it's you, but you just made the point. I don't bet. Why do you not bet?
I just never really, because I probably just, it's never been in my blood. I've never been that, you know, but I love handicapping games. I love it. You know, I love understanding the game and what's got to happen in the game and what should take place and how should you play the game. I love the basketball part of football. What style do you have to play? What should a team do? What I think people misconstrue all the time is every coach talks about how we plan to win. I want to strategize to win. What's the strategy we need to win? To me, that's more critical, and that's what I love about the game.
I have a theory, Michael, about why you don't bet. If you don't mind, I'll just say it. You want to keep your money.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great theory. No, my wife won't let me bet, Jim. She wants to keep my money.
Michael Lombardi joining us. I had a trainer once in horse racing, and some of these guys, and they're allowed to. They can bet. They can bet. Trainers can bet. So I had this one trainer who didn't bet, and I said, why not? He goes, I don't want to lose twice. So that made sense to me, too.
Really does.
But it is fun. It is fun. If you're responsible and you only wager what you can afford to lose, it can certainly be fun. But I can understand why you might not do it. He is an author. He is a 3-time Super Bowl champ. And again, pushing out a lot of content, co-host of the GM Shuffle podcast, co-creator of The Daily Coach, and appears today courtesy of VSiN and VSiN.com. Michael, really appreciate you. And as always, a great conversation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Well, anytime.
Love talking to you. Michael Lombardi joining us. Always great to have him on. No nonsense, great content, tremendous insight. Love it.